I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix.
The brilliant, searing words and voice of the late Allen Ginsberg. The beat poet reading Howl, his epic verse that reads and sounds like the heartbeat of its time. Ginsberg died in 1997, but his poems were already immortal by then. And Howl, arguably his most famous poem, is the title of a new movie that tries to capture a time and a soul. James Franco stars as Allen Ginsberg. The film is written and directed by Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman, the Oscar-winning team best known for their documentaries Celluloid Closet and The Times of Harvey Milk. Rob and Jeffrey, good morning, and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
You know, let's begin right at the top. There's a quality of is it real or is it Memorex in the sense that you've got James Franco playing Allen Ginsberg. Let's listen to James Franco here.
Oh, skinny legions, run outside. Oh, starry-spangled shock of mercy. The eternal war is here. Oh, victory. Forget your underwear. We're free.
That is James Franco reading Howl from the movie that you've made. First of all, how classic do you think Allen Ginsberg's cadences and voice qualities are, and how difficult was that for you to reproduce by an actor?
Well, James does an uncanny job of capturing Allen's rhythms and vocalizations and physical characteristics, and it was really great to work with him and to see him begin to embody Allen in that way. But he really captures his kind of spirit beyond all the physicalizations of Allen.
And that's the issue here in this movie, Howl. I mean, we call it a biopic, but are you going, Jeffrey?
We don't call it. We call it a poem pic.
Well, that's the interesting thing. Are you going for an interior space of who Allen Ginsberg was, or are you trying to show us a time in history, Jeffrey?
We're trying to show this golden moment when this work of art was created, and we're trying to understand how art gets created and what effect it can have on the culture. And this was a piece of art that really did have an effect on the culture. It really led to the whole beat movement, which evolved into all the movements that came afterwards. And it was kind of an amazing time when these young writers were coming up with a new language to express their experience and talk about things that people just weren't talking about in the 1950s.
And one of the things it seems to me that distinguished Allen Ginsberg, Rob, is that he had intensity, but also this incredible, almost indefinable gentleness.
What is called the hippie movement involves an alteration of consciousness towards some greater awareness. Then hopefully the future will see like a spread of that gentleness and consideration coming through.
What was your connection to Allen Ginsberg and your connection to the poem Howl that got you into this project?
The project came to us from Allen Ginsberg's longtime secretary, Bob Rosenthal. One day, out of the blue, we got a phone call asking if we'd be interested in doing a film about Howl. And at that point, Bob didn't have any clear notion of what that might be. He wanted for it to be a commemorative piece for the 50th anniversary of the publication. And the more Jeffrey and I lived with the material, the more we came to feel we wanted to do something that would be stylistically, informally, innovative and original and audacious in the way that the poem was in its day. So neither of us knew Allen personally, but we feel like we've gotten very close to him in the making of this movie.
I did get to chant with him once.
Really?
Yeah. I was backstage.
The famous Buddhist.
Yes. And he had a squeeze box, and I think he was chanting Om Mani Padme Hum. Backstage at the Living Theater.
For a time, the most famous Buddhist in America, I think it's probably safe to say. Here is a scene from your movie. Let's listen to this and talk about it in just a moment.
Do you think Mr. Ginsberg's work will survive the test of time?
He has no way of knowing. No more than some people thought leaves of grass would survive.
I'm asking him for his opinion. He says that literary value depends on surviving the test of time. I want to know if it will.
Now, if Luther Nichols could answer that, then the good Lord could use a helper, and he ought to be up there.
Now that's David Strathairn, right? As an attorney and John Hamm defending a prosecutor and John Hamm defending Ginsburg. How important was this confrontation on the issue of obscenity, do you think, to Allen Ginsberg's life and to the poem Powell? Jeffrey?
Well, it put the poem in the public consciousness. I mean, it became a national story. It became it put the Beats as a movement. They never called themselves the Beats, but they became this phenomenon that the media picked up on, and it really made them famous.
But this goes beyond. There's something about both this story and your film that goes beyond, say, The People versus Larry Flint, simply defending something that maybe is questionable, but is about our rights as Americans to say whatever we want. There's also a value intrinsically to this art itself, right, Rob?
Yeah, and there's also the dark side of that argument, which is the fear of the unknown. And so much of what the Howell trial was about was responding to everything that the Beats represented at that point in time. And the subtext of what some of the themes in Howell, which is the fact that Allen was proclaiming himself as gay, and that was the love that still could not be articulated in a courtroom.
No,
they couldn't say the word, so it remained subtextual.
And yet he was defiant on all of these things. He didn't give an inch, Allen Ginsberg, on the question of being gay, on the question of what he had the right to say, and on believing in the art of his poetry, Jeffrey.
And, you know, talking about all the things that he saw coming down that he felt was destroying the culture and dehumanizing the culture. The way that the media was starting to take over our mind processes, and the way that corporations were taking over our lives, and the way that advertising was taking over our minds.
Yeah. He predicted it all.
Talked about everything. He talked about everything, and it was at a time when people weren't talking about these things. So, people, you know, when he howled his howl, people sat up and listened.
Jeffrey Friedman is the Oscar-winning director of The Celluloid Closet, Common Threads, and the new Allen Ginsberg movie, Howl, starring James Franco, John Hamm, and Mary Louise Parker. Rob Epstein, what do you think Allen Ginsberg would make of this moment in history, this time, had he lived this long?
Well, I think he'd be tickled that this film is coming out now in this age of Palinism and reality television.
He would love Sarah Palin,
Allen Ginsberg. We could use a little rebel spirit.
Rob Epstein, also Oscar-winning director of The Celluloid Closet, Times of Harvey Milk, and responsible for the new Allen Ginsberg movie, Howl. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
I met Einstein in a dream. Springtime on Princeton lawn grass. I kneeled down and kissed his young thumb, like a ruddy pope. His face fresh, broad.
Good. Send it to us at 8778 My Take. Greed is blank. Or how about blank is good? Send us your catchphrase. I'm Celeste Headlee at KUVO in Denver.
I'm John Hockenberry in New York. This is The Takeaway.
Gives birth to itself, I quoted from Mescaline.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.